The life he lived was not the one he had imagined for himself. He had come to this town as a stranger, but now the streets flashing by were so familiar, not a step or an image remained unconnected to a memory. He had seen these trees planted, watched them grow. He passed houses he knew, houses where he had been for dinner or for drinks, where he'd gone on emergency calls, standing late in the night in hallways or foyers, writing out prescriptions, calling an ambulance. Layer on layer of days and images, dense and complex and particular to him alone. Nora could walk here or Paul and see something quite different, but just as real. David turned down his old street. He had not been over here in months, and he was surprised to find the porch columns of his house torn down, the roof supported by pairs of 2x4s. Rot in the porch floor, it looked like, but no workmen were in sight. The driveway was empty. Nora wasn't home. He paced across the lawn a few times to catch his breath, then walked to where the key was still hidden beneath a brick beside the rhododendron. He let himself inside and got a drink of water. The house smelled stale. He pushed open a window. Wind lifted the sheer white curtains. These were new, as was the tile floor and the refrigerator. He got another glass of water. Then he walked through the house, curious to see what else had changed. Small things everywhere. A new mirror in the dining room. The living room furniture reupholstered and rearranged. Upstairs, the bedrooms were the same. Paul's room a shrine to adolescent angst, with posters of obscure quartets taped to the wall, ticket stubs pinned to the bulletin board, the walls painted a hideous dark blue, like a cave. He'd gone to Juilliard, and although David had given his blessing and paid half his bills, what Paul still remembered was the deeper past, when David didn't believe his talent would be enough to sustain him in the world. He was always sending program flyers and reviews, along with postcards from every city where he performed, as if to say, "Here, look, I'm a success," as if Paul himself could hardly believe it. Sometimes David traveled 100 miles or more, to Cincinnati or Pittsburgh or Atlanta or Memphis, to slip into the back of a darkened auditorium and watch Paul perform. His head bent over the guitar, his fingers deft. The music, a language both mysterious and beautiful, would move David to tears. It was all he could do sometimes not to stride down the dark aisles and take Paul in his arms. But of course he never did. Sometimes he slipped away unseen. The master bedroom was perfectly arranged, unused. Nora had moved to the smaller front bedroom. Here the bedspread was wrinkled. David reached to straighten it, but pulled his hand back at the last minute, as if this would be too great an intrusion. Then he went back downstairs. He didn't understand. It was late in the afternoon, and Nora should be home. If she did not come soon, he would simply leave.